medically impossible.
Hey, Doc, wait. I want to ask you something.
I'll just go up sometimes. See me.
Time for your appointment.
It is indeed time for your appointment. I'm Dr. Sally Coburn, and I'm with you for the next 2 hours talking health. Now, tonight on the show, we've got two separate topics. We're going to spend an hour on each of the topics because they're both so important. Now, I've been in medicine for 30 years, and I sort of thought I'd heard most things, but I just love it when I learn something new. And the other day, that my first guest is someone who told me something new. Moreover, it affected me, and that's what I really thought was interesting. His name is Dr. Peter Maliaris. He's a consultant physiotherapist, both at Physio East and also at Olympic Park Medical Centre, Sports Medicine Centre, I should say. He's also visiting senior lecturer and honorary researcher at the University of Melbourne and Queen Mary University in London, and he has a PhD in tendinopathies. Now, that, of course, being a problem with tendons. But the thing he told me about that I want him to tell you about, and maybe you would like to ring up and have a chat with us about, is glutei. Now, if you don't know what a glutei are, well, you've probably heard of gluteus maximus. Everyone's sort of uses that euphemism for their bottom. And in fact, that's what we're talking about. Your bum muscles. Real bummer, this problem, I've got to say, Peter. But the thing is, your glutei are very neglected, according to Peter, and there's a lot we can learn about them. So, Peter, I was entranced when you, remind you, I get entranced by things like this, when you talked to me. How common are problems with glutei?
I think, Sally, they're very common. Depends on the type of demographic that you're looking at. But if you're talking about your sort of 40-plus-year-old females, they are very, very common.
And it happens in men as well?
It happens in men, but not as often, and often for different reasons. So in men, you're looking – often we see men related to overload, so they're just doing simply too much load, too much running. Whereas in females, often there's other reasons that we can get into. But one of the really key reasons, and I think this is one of the things that we talked about the other day, was often it is a systemic. There's a systemic drive. And usually one of the key things is estrogen or a loss of estrogen or reduction in estrogen when they're going through menopause.
So this is another thing that women look forward to at menopause. But the interesting thing that I think, I don't know that many people give their bottom muscles much of a sort of a thought, because it's, you know, we notice that, I'm sure you'd agree with me, ladies, we do tend to notice when we put on the jeans or the pants that, gee, that used to be nice and rounded and pert, and now it's a bit flat. Yeah. And that is actually the loss of the glutei muscles.
Absolutely. I mean, what we see at the sort of end stage, you will see exactly as you're saying, it will become flat, because the end stage of this sort of tendinopathy is a tear in the tendon. Mm. And that's when the tendon is just not functioning anymore and the muscle will atrophy, and you will get, unfortunately, a bit of a flat bottom.
Mm. I forgot to say at the beginning of the show that we've got Peter on for an hour, and then the second part of the show we're going to be talking about some new research that's come out of Alzheimer's Victoria, or Alzheimer's Australia Victoria, and that's going to be about prevention of dementia, which is very much worth waiting for. But now, can we just go back to talking about this? Oh, by the way, if you'd like to be part of the show, 96900 693 is the number. Peter, you're a physiotherapist, so muscles are your, and muscles and joints are your game, and tendons. Yep. Yep. Can you just tell us about what a tendinopathy actually is?
Yep. I think if you go back 15, 20 years, or even longer than that, what we used to call it was tendinitis. So back then we were talking about tendinitis, and the feeling we had then was that it was an inflammation of the tendon. So the tendon was becoming inflamed. Now what we know is that actually it's less common to have an actual inflammation in the tendon. What we see is a breakdown of the tendon under load. So the tendon becomes less good, you could say, at actually taking load, and it breaks down in a way that is not inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
So this has really changed the way that we see tendinopathy and the way that we treat it, because if you're looking at an inflammatory type problem, you're going to treat it in a very different way.
Well, and one of those ways is obviously steroid injections and things like that. And, of course, what you're saying is that probably isn't the way to go if it's not an inflamed tendon. Let's just explain what a tendon is. I think it's very important, because people hear these words bandied about by health professionals, but what is a tendon and how does it relate to muscles and bones?
So a tendon is the join between a muscle and bone. So at the end of all your muscles, you'll have a tendon that attaches it to the bone. And
bit of a guy rope?
Yep, pretty much, yes, exactly. And, I mean, tendons are very different. So you'll have some tendons that are, you know, long and going around bones and curving, others that are very short and flat, and they all have different functions. But the ones that we see getting injured are the ones that tend to function as springs. So they tend to absorb a lot of force when we're walking, when we're running, and when we're jumping, mainly in those activities in the lower limb. And they will take a lot of force, and they effectively act like a spring. And what that does is it makes our movement more efficient, because the tendon is much less thirsty for blood than the muscle. So we can be more efficient. So if I give you an example, someone like Usain Bolt has very, very efficient and good working tendons to be able to run as fast as he does.
So just thinking about the glutei, the muscles in your buttocks, they attach to your femur, to your leg bone, is that right?
You have, so there's three. There's three. There's the gluteus maximus, which you mentioned, and that is your big sort of back bum muscle. That gives you the real shape in your bum. And that it attaches to your femur, but a little bit further down. The ones that we tend to see a real problem in is the gluteus medius and minimus, and they attach onto a bit called the greater trochanter.
Now, the greater trochanter, and everyone, if you've ever seen a picture of a femur, and I think most people are familiar, it's got the ball on the one side that goes into the socket, and then it's got that sort of, I suppose, bit that sticks out the side and goes straight up. That's the greater trochanter,
Exactly. That's the one. And it's if you think about it, if you look at yourself in the mirror, it's the bit that sticks out the side the most of your hip.
So if you stand now and put your hands on your waist and then drop it down, and the first, that sort of bone you're going to feel when you go down into your leg bone.
I describe it as if you lie on your side and you run your hand down your sort of hip, it's almost like the peak of the mountain. And a lot of females don't like it when I say mountain.
No, we don't like that word, thank you very much. It's the peak of the rolling hill.
It's the peak of the small mound, let's say, yeah. But that's and females have a wider pelvis than males, so they tend to have more of a peak, and that's one of the reasons they tend to get this more than males, because
of our wider...
Yes, exactly. So they have more forces.
And
going
I found it very interesting. How would someone know if they had this problem? Because let's face it, you know, you get pains in your back, pains in your hip, and everyone always comes in thinking they've got arthritis in their hip. Sometimes they do. But how would you know if you had this sort of tendinopathy?
It's actually pretty simple to diagnose. The main thing is, you'll have pain that is very localized at the side of your hip. So very, very, you know, very localized pain at the side of your hip. And right at that point that we're talking about where the tendon inserts into the greater trochanter, and it usually doesn't refer. It's usually very localized into that area.
When you say doesn't refer, you mean it doesn't send pain to other places, which back pain can, and sciatica being the classic example of referred pain, where although the problem is in your back, it refers pain down your leg.
Exactly. So the things that we tend to try and weed out are things like back pain and other issues with the hip, so arthritis in the hip, and they tend to present, as you say, with more referred pain.
So the sort of person, and this is why when I heard this, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people listening now going, hang on, I think this might be familiar, is the sort of person who's presented to the GP with pain in that sort of area, they've had the x-ray and there's no arthritis, they've had the back x-ray and there's no back problem, and one of the things I often get told then, and I have to say that I've often thought this was the case, is they've been told it's trochanteric bursitis.
Yes,
I believe that this is commonly confused. So can you explain a bit of the difference?
Yes. So, I mean, the best way to describe it is basically to say that trochanteric bursitis is something that often occurs together or very, very rarely occurs on its own. But what we know from imaging studies, and this is our own clinical experience and also imaging studies that have been published, it is very rare to have the bursa being affected on its own. Usually the tendon is affected first and then the bursa.
Now just explain what a bursa is and what the bursa in relation to this tendon is.
Yep, so the bursa is a fluid-filled sac that sits deep to the tendon and it lubricates the movement of the tendon.
Like a little cushion, really.
Exactly. So it's a nice little soft cushion. Usually in life we don't have much fluid in bursas, so they're there. They're not doing much, but then when we start to overload, they'll get some fluid in them. And it's normal. We see runners on ultrasound that have a little bit of fluid and no pain at all, and that's normal. But sometimes you can get a very angry bursa that becomes very thickened and very fluid-filled, and that's what will give you pain. But as I say, it is definitely the least common diagnosis. So when we look at people with this pain and they come in and they point to their hip on the side, more often they have a tendon problem rather than a problem in their bursa. And that's often the confusion, because most people diagnose the trochanteric bursa. And that's the issue that we have.
And, of course, the treatment's entirely different.
Yes,
because
exactly.
Trochanteric bursitis is often treated with anti-inflammatories or an injection.
Yes.
And, of course, the tendinopathy, if you're saying that's not inflamed, that's actually probably not the appropriate thing to do.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Exactly. So most times, I mean, I've had cases where I've seen patients that have had, you know, 6-7 injections, haven't had any exercise whatsoever.
Mm.
But what we know is that if you're looking at a tendon problem, which is the most likely thing, what you want to do is give them exercise. So it's fine to have a steroid injection if you've got a lot of pain, and that will reduce the pain even if it is a tendon problem, but you've got to have exercise as well. And I think that's one of the key messages. You've got to get exercise for this problem as well as the injection.
Let me guess, and the other thing is diet. I always know it's diet and exercise. But isn't it good to know that this is something that doesn't need an operation, it doesn't need necessarily, it doesn't need any of those sort of things, and with a few exercises it could get better?
Absolutely. It's very uncommon to operate on this problem, so very, very few patients that we see end up having an operation, and most get better with the right type of treatment. And we can go into that in detail if you like.
But sure.
The right type of treatment is very specific exercises that allow the tendon to get stronger, allow the muscle to get stronger without causing further damage.
Now, tendons are your thing. I mean, I love it. I love super specialists. I mean, your whole life is around these little white things at the end of muscles. It's just incredible.
Yes.
And so, look, we are talking about glutei, about bum muscles today, but I suppose that some people may have questions about other tendons, which are sort of also your bag. We do have Lisa on the line. Are you there, Lisa?
Hello, Sally. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. What can we do for you?
You might know me, Sally, from Mum.
Pardon me?
How are you?
I'm good.
My mum's still going strong, Sally.
Excellent.
Lisa from Yarraville.
Oh, excellent, Lisa.
How are you?
I'm very well.
My son, Ben broke his collarbone 5 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And it's broken in two places.
Mm-hmm.
So now they've not done nothing because I think he's 16.
Mm-hmm.
But they do down the road maybe want to do, like, surgery.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to go back and see a bone specialist on Thursday.
Sure.
He sat there tonight, and it's just disgusting, Sally.
Yeah, because it looks a bit wonky. Now, the clavicle, or the collarbone, as you call it,
exactly.
Can look very... It can give a very pronounced appearance when it's fractured. Look, it's not my area of expertise, and it's actually, I don't think, Peter's area of expertise either. And I would be very much guided by the... I take it he's seeing an orthopaedic surgeon.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I think one of the things with young boys is that they sort of figure if it's not essential to do the operation for cosmetic reasons, they may delay it because of the fact that, let's face it, they're likely to do it again. But by the same token, I know that some collarbone injuries can affect the way the shoulder works. So, look, it's a bit outside my area of expertise, Lisa.
He sat down tonight and he goes, Mum, feel that. And it's horrible.
It does look very dramatic. And
I thought, you know, like they said, like, we'll give him. So we'll go back this Thursday,
yep.
to see a bone specialist.
And
long do we go on to do x-rays, Sally?
Haven't you had x-rays?
We have had x-rays, and they're going to do more on Thursday.
Okay.
How long do we keep going on?
Well,
like
I suspect what they're doing on Thursday is trying to assess how much movement there's been since the previous time, because obviously if there's a lot of movement in those bones, that would cause him pain, and they'd probably look at doing something. But don't rush into surgery if they don't want to do it,
I don't
Lisa.
Want to do it because
no.
I know he's 16, yeah.
But by the same token, look, it's very much the sort of questions you need to ask them. Is this, if he doesn't do anything, is it going to affect the function of his shoulder? If he does do it, what's it involve? How much time off school? It's those sort of things you need to ask.
Well, he's already been off 5 weeks now, Dr.
Oh, poor
Sally.
Darling. And also off sport too, I imagine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So one doctor told me 6 months.
Gee.
I mean, that's how serious it is.
And can I say, if he's an avid sports person, your son, mm-hmm. what I would very strongly suggest is for him to see a sports physiotherapist as well, because the thing is, if he's an avid sports person, to tell him to just know sport love is just not on for these young people.
Mm-hmm.
And would that be something, Peter, in your area as a sports physio?
Well, we play for Yarraville. 7 juniors.
Yeah, the trouble is footy is such a contact sport that the trouble is that I with a broken collarbone, he can't go out there too soon. It's got to be able to set, and it'll take
exactly.
at least 6 weeks for it to even begin to set properly.
But But they've told me, the actual doctors have told me at least 6 months.
Yeah.
Look, he said he was going to go out and play cricket.
Lisa,
there's no way.
I think you need to be, you need to write down all your questions when you go to see the orthopaedic surgeon and make sure you, I'm sure you'll get the answers. And you're no doubt seeing an orthopaedic surgeon who's experienced with young people and with sports people.
Yes.
But also say to him, you know, my son needs to do some sport while he's convalescing. What can he do?
So, but in the meantime, Dr. Sally, do you think they should be giving him some physio or anything like that?
Well, again, it's difficult for me to comment on the injury because I haven't seen it, but certainly that's a very valid question to ask.
It's actually snapped in two places.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I to be honest, I don't know what sort of physio he should have for that, and that's why I'd be calling in the experts myself if he was in my general practice.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because we need to get the right advice.
You probably do need to. I mean, a physio will probably take one look at that and tell you to go and see the orthopaedic surgeon, so I think that's the first thing to do, to make sure that it's stable, and then you can... and then you can look at, you know, seeing a physio afterwards.
So, Lisa, the question to ask is, when can he start having physio? That's the question to ask the orthopaedic surgeon, because obviously what they're probably waiting for is for the bone to sort of knit to a degree.
Well, that's what they thought, Dr. Sally.
Yeah.
They thought it might, because he's 16 and might, like, knit in.
Yeah, but what you need to do is that you need to make sure you get the answers for those questions as to give us a time frame, because he's a sports fanatic young person who needs to be able to do something, and then we need to find some other sort of sport he can actually do.
Yeah.
Lisa, thank you for your call, and I hope all goes well. Keep me informed. Ring us back and let us know.
Thanks, Dr.
Thanks, Lisa. Bye. We're going to take a break. Come back with more of your calls after this.
Melbourne's number one.
In the future, if we go into a recession in Australia, am I just allowed to lob on Mick and Oxen?
Ross and John return tomorrow from 5:30.
Do you point out somewhat gently to the prospective Greeks who might be coming to this country that there's a three-letter word in Australia they may not be familiar with? It's called tax.
Wake up to Ross and John.
I thought you were going to say job.
Melbourne's own 3AW.
They're allergic to three-letter words.
I've lived in my house for 50 years. About 30 years ago, we had it extended. And from that point onwards, the trouble started with our draining system. The main problem was that the water used to come through the wall of the garage, through the mortar. With the water coming out of the garage, it looked like the house was going to fall down soon. And one Saturday morning, I was listening to 3AW, and the drain man was on. So I rang them, found all the problems, found problems that no one else ever knew existed. Fixed them all up, resleeved all of the drains for me. There is no water in the garage anymore. The driveway is settled back down and the sewerage is all working properly again.
The Drain Man is the best man to unblock and reline your drains.
Hi, I'm Brendan from The Drain Man. Call us to unblock your drains. 1-800 843 372. 1-800
The Drain Man.
Some people think that funding your retirement means selling the family home. But did you know there's another way to use your home to fund your retirement? With HomeSafe Solutions, you can use the equity in your home to finance your retirement. Your home is secure and you get to take control of your finances. It's that simple. So if you're over 60 and own your own home, call HomeSafe Solutions now for your free brochure on 1300 307 059. Available in most metro postcodes in Greater Melbourne. Terms, conditions and eligibility criteria apply.
One temporary fence, two temporary fences, three temporary fences,
Fantastic prices on temporary fencing. Sink your teeth into a bargain now at Citywide and Macedon Fencing. New temporary weld mesh fence panels from $54. Ex-hire temporary fence panels, $37 per panel. Free installation and free next day delivery to the metro area.
They're unbiteable. I mean unbeatable.
Hurry while stocks last at Citywide and Macedon Fencing. See the range. Macedonfencing.com.au.
Listen to what one satisfied customer had to say about the Care Alert Smart Dialer.
I call in and see Mum as often as possible, but I can't be there all the time. She had a funny turn recently, and I don't know what would have happened if it hadn't been for her Care Alert Smart Dialer.
One push on your Care Alert pendant will call up to five phone numbers of your choice, including 000, and notify them that you need assistance. All for under $300, delivered to your door, and no monitoring fees ever. Go to carealert.com.au or call 1300 75 85 95.
Hi, Rob Sinclair for me and his trading. Save $200 on all Miele washing machines, now from just $14.99. Save $500 on selected Miele cooking packages, now from just $24.97. T&Cs apply, offer ends October 31. Visit estrading.com.au.
Agatha Christie's classic murder mystery, The Mousetrap, must close in just 3 weeks. This is your only chance to see the official 60th anniversary tour of Christie's legendary masterpiece before it leaves Melbourne. With performances already sold out, hurry to secure your tickets to this world-renowned thriller. This is the one show you don't want to miss. Can you guess who done it? Don't miss out. Hurry, book a Ticketmaster today.
Talking Health with Dr. Sally Coburn. For Beds for Backs, your health bed store.
And I'm talking in the studio to Dr. Peter Meliaris. He's a consultant physiotherapist with a PhD in tendons. Gotta love a PhD in tendons. Now, we heard from Lisa just now, which was really off the topic, but nevertheless, it was great of you to call, Lisa. But I think the relevant thing, Peter, is, and I see a lot of people with this sort of problem, where they're an avid sports person, and especially the older avid sports person, let's say the 55-year-old runner who suddenly does something to their knee and is told by the well-meaning GP like me, rest it, no exercise. And they go sort of beside themselves because they're not doing any sport. How important is it for these people to actually find an alternative, and what alternatives can they find?
Look, I think for some people, being told that is pretty much the worst thing that they can be told. I mean, I see a lot of runners, probably about sort of half of my practice is runners, and they just, that's the worst thing you can tell them. So they will often look around for other people or shop around for clinicians that will tell them what they want to hear. Runners will, some of them just want to continue running. And I think sometimes it comes down to is the advice correct? So, for example, with tendinopathy, often you don't need to stop. So often with running, you can still run as long as your symptoms are stable. And what I define as stable symptoms are they recover quickly. So if your symptoms, if you can run, they recover by the next day, and you're no worse for having done that run the next day, then you can still run within certain limits.
As long as you've got the diagnosis of tendinopathy, not doing a self-diagnosis or Dr. Google. And exactly, I want to get on to how we make these diagnoses, but let's take a call from Helen. Hello, Helen. You there, Helen? Oh, Helen's gone. Angela, hello.
Oh, hi, Sally and Peter. Look, I've had about 8 blood injections from GMI.
What's GMI? Sorry?
They do the blood injections into the burka. I've also had them done into the SIG, the hamstring, and the quad.
Yep. What are your symptoms, Angela? What are your main symptoms? Do you get pain in the tendon or around the joints, or what? Because blood injections they're used for different areas.
I'm going to take you back to right basics here. You're talking about blood injections, and people at home are going, "What are you talking about? Can you explain?"
I've had 4 children, right? So I'm in my 40s, and that estrogen part intrigues me also. But look, pain like top of the hamstrings.
Yes.
And then alternate, like when I overload one area, then I seem to get another spasm onto the right hamstring.
You've got what we would call, I mean, obviously I haven't diagnosed you or looked at you, but you would fit into what you would probably call a systemically driven tendinopathy person. So what that means is that you have got this multi-site tendon pain, but more than likely it's related to an underlying systemic drive. And that could be estrogen, it could be other it could be other health issues, like, for example, cholesterol. We know that elevated cholesterol.
I'm fine with that.
You're fine with that.
I've been to the Olympic Sports Medicine in Geelong, and I've been given my exercises.
Yes.
But with having children and family issues, they've preceded me being diligent with my exercises, my physio.
Yes.
So what you're saying is I really need, kick up the bus.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I need to stop you both. I need to stop you both because you've gone way ahead of the rest of us with all the things you're talking about, and I just want to pull it back a bit so that the rest of us can understand, because you guys know what you're talking about. But can I just take it back a few steps, Angela? First of all, if I can just understand, you've had these alternating pains in the top of your thigh at the back, and you've had these...
Especially on the side.
Yeah, and because Peter's saying that because they're multiple sites, it could be that there's an underlying problem. They've obviously looked into all of that with you. And Peter, you said the cholesterol can be an underlying problem for people who get these multiple tendon problems. Can I just ask what other sorts of underlying problems can cause this?
Poor health comorbidities like hypertension, diabetes. Really? Diabetes, high blood pressure, diabetes, we see a lot, cholesterol. There's strong evidence for cholesterol, so really strong.
Isn't that interesting?
really strong evidence for cholesterol,
mm.
And that was part of my PhD. And my PhD supervisor is very into, her name's Professor Jill Cook. She's very into looking into the etiology of these things, and she's had a couple of follow-on PhDs that have looked at lipid levels specifically.
But does it tend to get better
when? Can't be that because I've got low. Mine's actually low.
Yes.
Can I just ask, when people treat their cholesterol, does it get better? Like, does this problem get better when their cholesterol is treated?
There's no research evidence for that, but clinically, yes.
It's interesting.
So clinically, we always treat it either with exercise or medication.
Okay.
And it will improve. But I often say to people, you can actually diagnose. I said, when I lecture to GPs, I said to them, you can actually diagnose a cholesterol problem
mm-hmm.
from an onset of tendinopathy. Because if you have,
really?
Yeah, if you have your 45-year-old, if you have your 45-year-old typical sort of deconditioned person, slightly overweight, maybe doing a little bit of exercise.
Sounds like most of us, really.
A little bit of exercise. They present with a tendinopathy, like an Achilles tendinopathy typically. If you check their lipid levels, often they are slightly high.
But we don't know which is the horse and which is the cart. In the sense that what the interrelationship
yep.
between these two is.
Yep.
Now, getting step next step with Angela's issue, don't go away, Angela, is the blood. Now, tell us about this blood treatment, Peter. What is the story with blood injections? So I'm getting back there, Angela. I just need to take everybody else through the steps.
So blood is a popular treatment for tendons. Basically what they do is they take a bit of blood, your own blood. So it's autologous blood. They take your own blood and they either inject it into a tendon or they spin it first to concentrate the plasma, and then they will inject it into
the tendon.
Now, is
this a sort of a stem cell theory? I mean, what's
Well, it's not. Stem cells is another thing. That's a separate thing.
So what's this?
The underlying theory.
But how do they ever think of it is what I'd like to know.
The underlying theory is that you've got growth factors in your blood that will potentially, or the theory is, lead to healing. But depending on who you speak to, and certainly in the evidence, that's not really supported.
Okay.
So what we think happens is that there's some sort of response in that there's a pro-inflammatory fibrosis in the tendon. So they scar up, exactly. So it's not really a precise treatment. They scar up. Sometimes people get worse. Sometimes
so the scarring up might be the treatment? Is that why some of them get better?
Yeah. And I want to say about blood, they are definitely indicated in some people.
Mm.
But like with all treatments, it's about finding the right person.
So now Angela then said, and so Angela, I'll bring you back into the conversation again, so her options are obviously to exclude an underlying thing, which she's done, to have the blood, she's had the blood and that didn't work.
Yep.
So exercise, how do you know if she's doing the right exercise?
So I would look, so someone like Angela, so again, Angela, I haven't assessed you, but I'd be looking at, if you're getting multi-site pain, it is difficult, that's the first thing. There's no easy solutions for it.
Mm.
And it's often a case of, one of the things that works and that I've had experience in is looking at aerobic exercise programs. So getting people fitter generally, even if it's not lipids, it may be something else that can be improved with aerobic exercise. So it could be weight. It could be other systemic issues that can be improved with aerobic exercise that will then have an effect. But
so aerobic, not even, like you'd immediately think, oh, I should need to be going and doing exercises with my legs. But this
loading
is
tendons.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily.
If you've got the systemic environment where your tendons are unlikely to heal because of some underlying problem, doesn't matter what you do in terms of exercise to that tendon, and that area, it may never heal.
Okay.
Because you just don't have that environment to
heal. So, Angela, you've obviously seen the physios and you're doing the exercises? Angela? Oh, I think Angela's gone. Oh, thanks, Angela. So the aerobic exercises, and are there exercises that you can actually do to be harming this sort of thing?
There are, absolutely. I mean, one of the things with tendons up and down the upper limb and lower limb, so the arm and the leg, is that they do not respond well to compression. So what compression is effectively stretching it. So one of the things that a lot of my patients come in doing is stretching. So yoga, or they're doing their own gluteal stretches.
Which you'd sort of think, intuitively, you'd think, oh, that's what I feel like I need to do.
Exactly. It gives them short-term relief, and it helps in the short term, but then long-term, it makes it worse because it compresses the tendon. And we know that one of the sort of inciting factors, or one of the risk factors, is compression.
Is this an area that most physios are trained in, or is this like you're a super specialist? Is it getting into the physio training course and stuff?
I think if you look at sort of the undergraduate training is pretty basic. I see a lot of second opinion tendinopathies from other clinicians, and I think overall, I mean, physios, we've got so many things to...
A bit like GPs, really.
Exactly. So many things to treat and do. We can't be excellent at everything, but I think most physios do, you know, cover them very well and know a lot about tendinopathies, but it's just those difficult ones, I guess, and the hard ones. Where
and I often say to my patients, when they ring up a place like a sports medicine clinic or whatever and want to see a physio, to if they've got a particular problem, to ask, do you have any physios who have a special interest in?
Yep.
And I think that's a really important thing to do.
Yep. Exactly.
We've got Helen on the line. Hi, Helen. You there, Helen?
Yes.
Hello.
Hi, Sally. Hi, Peter. I've got this exact problem you're talking about in my hip.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lawn bowler,
mm-hmm.
and I've had this pain in my hip for a few months, but just kept on bowling. But it got a bit much, so I went to the specialist, and he thought it might have been a bursa or whatever you said before.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I had a cortisone injection into it under ultrasound, and I'm due to go back and see the specialist again tomorrow, but the injection hasn't helped all that much.
How long after the injection is it now, Helen?
This is 2 weeks after the injection.
2 weeks after the injection, okay.
I've got a question to ask you. Have they done an ultrasound?
Sorry?
Have they done an ultrasound of
your... Yeah, I had the cortisone under ultrasound.
No, but have they actually done an ultrasound to look at the tendon? Okay, so Peter,
what do they do when they
that's
do
how
the
they
ultrasound?
They wouldn't do it just while they're giving the injection. They'd actually be looking for a diagnosis. So,
they were.
Okay, did they say the tendon was normal?
Well, no, they said something was narrowing and the blood wasn't going through. Whatever that is.
Okay. Well, let's just talk about that. So stay there because let's talk about that, Peter. Mm. How do you you talk about the clinical presentation, but it sounds like it could be a few different things. How do you differentiate between the tendinopathy and the bursitis? Because they sound like they've got entirely different treatments.
I think clinically it's often difficult and it can be exactly the same. But what experience has told us and taught us is that if you look at most people, the bursa is less common.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially if it's localized pain, tendon tends to give you a very localized pain. Bursa mm-hmm. can sometimes be a little bit more angry, so a little bit more irritable, a little bit more painful, and also can be quite diffuse or more diffuse around the hip.
And Jen, have you seen a physio yet?
Helen.
Oh, sorry, Helen. What am I talking about? Oh, sorry.
Have
you seen a physio?
No, I haven't. I've just seen the specialist.
Why don't you ask the specialist when you see him or her tomorrow about, you know, say you listen to my show and your specialist will shake his head, not that bloody woman again.
Yeah.
Tell him I'm sorry. But the thing, we were talking about the role of physiotherapy and we were talking about the differentiation between the bursitis and the tendinopathy and whether there is a place for physiotherapy. And I know what he'll do. He'll say, I'm going to ring that woman and ask her.
Can I ask you, Helen, what's your main aggravating factor? When do you feel it the most? After you've walked or sat or in the morning?
After I've walked, after I stand up, you know, after rising from a chair.
Yep.
When I'm lawn bowling, of course, I'm down, and as I'm coming up,
so often
that's
what we find, often what we find is where the tendon is compressed or squashed, and that is all the things you're describing. So in walking, because your hip moves sideways, the tendon is squashed. When you're lawn bowling, you're squatting, so the tendon is squashed. So what you've got to try and do, and this is what the physios do very well, is tell you about, they'll give you a long list of things that you shouldn't be doing, and that is the things that will help to get you out of that pain cycle.
Oh, really?
Because even with the best intentions and the best, you know, injection into the area, if you're still aggravating it with all these compressive type positions, then it's going to come back. And that may be what has happened.
And Helen, I'll just put a rider on the whole thing, that we haven't seen your ultrasound or your test. You might well have the bursitis and we're barking up the wrong tree. Worth asking.
I don't think I have got the bursitis from what the radiographer said.
Mm.
So
I tell you what,
Mike. This is right on the right track what you're talking about. I think I'll go back to my physio.
And see that your physio is someone who is interested in tendinopathy.
Yeah, my physio is very interested, actually.
Excellent.
He's the physio for the Victorian hockey team.
No doubt.
Excellent.
He will
probably
know Peter then, because Peter's done a PhD on this sort of stuff. And,
you probably would know.
Sounds like you're in good hands. That's good, because I'd see a lot of the hockey, because in hockey you're bent over a lot and you're always, you're compressing those tendons. So he probably sees that a lot.
And you know what also, Helen? I think that not all sports people are 22-year-old AFL players. And I think this is what we need to make sure that people, you know, that our health specialists realise that, you know, you can be an avid sports person in, you know, as late as you want in your life.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. I'm in late 50s.
Good on you.
I'm a very avid, because I do water aerobics 3 times a week too.
Now tell me, have you got any young people in your family?
No.
Have you got any young friends that you would like to treat?
I've got young friends.
Well, you might like to... I got the young friends. You and a couple of friends. What about a family pass to the Royal Melbourne Show, Helen? When was the last time you went to the show?
I couldn't tell you.
Well, it's time to do it again. Because we've got a family pass for you for the Royal Melbourne Show at the showgrounds from the 22nd of September till the 2nd of October, day of your choice. And a family pass for you, Helen. So you and your family members have a good time.
Thank you very, very much.
And so hang on the line and we'll get your details and you can trot along to the Royal Show. I love the show. I love the
cake. I'm looking forward to that.
Go and look. Can you do me a favour? Go and look at the baby animals. I love the
baby animals. Love them.
Don't like the chooks too much because they smell a little. Helen, thanks for your call.
See you, Helen. Good luck.
See you, Helen. I'd be pleased to hear about how you get on too, Helen. We'll take a break and come back with more after this.
It's why he was awarded the Best Talk Personality at the Commercial Radio Awards.
So my key's not a mistake. The D-cell plan's not a mistake. TAFE, your standby and smart meters, win them. So were there any mistakes in your period of government?
It's why he's Melbourne's number one.
You'll only umpire seniors where they're not likely to do that to.
Yeah, I'm not umpiring junior football ever again.
It's why he's the Graham Perkin Journalist of the Year.
Well, certainly there was cuts to be used.
Why was that used if it's all orderly?
And it's why he's back tomorrow. Neil Mitchell, Melbourne's own 3AW.
A great price is for today, but great value is forever. At Penfold Audi, we offer both. With the arrival of the new A4 and A5, we have a limited number of run-out models available that must be sold. With a great price and value included, and from a dealership with 50 years' experience, the choice is simple. View the full Audi range at Audi Penfold Burwood, 130 Burwood Highway. Audi Penfold Burwood. Exceptional. AudiPenfold.com.au.
LMCT 444.
Have you heard? Supergroup has won 3 awards in 4 years. After 35 years as an award-winning builder, Supergroup is highly recognised in the industry for their quality and service. They offer an obligation-free design service and will work with you to transform your home into, well, your dream home. Supergroup, your only choice in extension builders. Call 9458166. That's 9458166 or visit supergroup.com.au. That's super with an A. As in, hey, have you seen my fancy new extension?
On The Real Housewives of Moonee Ponds, daughter-in-law bought mother-in-law a present.
A Bissell Lift-Off Deep Cleaner.
Glenys, this 2-in-1 machine comes with a portable spot cleaner. And it cleans the carpet and lifts out nasty allergens that make little Petey have a sneezy.
Apparently. There are 4,000 times more bacteria on the carpet than the toilet seat.
And the Bissell Lift-Off Deep Cleaner is approved by...
the National Asthma Council Australia's Sensitive Choice Program.
Deep cleaning is all the rage, Glenys. The Bissell Lift-Off Deep Cleaner. 30-day money-back trial now at the Good Guys, conditions apply. Bissell, experts in home cleaning.
The best music in the world is country.
You got me.
And no one does country better than the legendary Dwight Yoakam. Hear all his hits in one unforgettable night at the Palais Theatre, November 12th. Dwight Yoakam, live with Lee Kernaghan.
Hi, this is Dwight Yoakam with my good friend Lee Kernaghan.
Tickets on sale now from Ticketmaster. Presented by McManus Entertainment, CMC and 3AW 693.
At Origin, we'll help you beat energy rate rises in the future and let you take control of your bill by freezing your gas or electricity rate for 2 years. To switch to rate freeze, call Origin on 13-24-63 today.
Eligibility and availability criteria and terms and conditions apply. Energy price fact sheets are available at originenergy.com.au.
Taylor's tree and stump removal.
For elm leaf beetle control, possum banding and other arborist services, Taylor's are competitively priced and fully insured. Visit taylorstrees.com.au or call 9720-6025.
Ian again. Before selling your home, read Fatal Real Estate Traps Exposed. For your free copy, call 9430-0000 or download at vendoradvocacy.com.au.
Ian Reid's Vendor Advocacy Australia. A better way to sell your home.
Go on, ring us.
Talking Health with Dr. Sally Coburn. For beds for backs, your health bed store.
I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Peter Maliaris. He's a consultant physiotherapist. He's done a PhD on tendinopathy, which is problems with tendons, obviously. And that's called a super specialty. And you've got a blog, I believe, where you put up lots of information for people.
So what I do is I try as often as possible to write interesting things about tendinopathy, new research that's come out, and it's intended both for clinicians and also for patients. Mm.
And how do people find your blog?
It's via the website, which is www.physioeast.com.au, and there's a link on the top to the blog.
Excellent. So people can go and have a bit of a read about that. Because I think, you know, we really can use the internet well, and that's worth doing. We've got Jane on the line. Hi, Jane.
Oh, hi, Sally. This is really ringing bells with me, what you're talking about. I had a problem with my left buttock.
Mm-hmm.
With diagnosed as bursitis,
mm-hmm.
and I was having cortisone injections, mm-hmm. and not much was happening. And then this very clever doctor I know suggested myotherapy.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I've recognised your voice.
Oh, God.
Don't say who you are, though, but I know who you are.
Which is so hard to get an appointment with. I have to resort to this.
Go on.
Anyway, I had two appointments. It was brilliant. It worked. And
fantastic.
I had problems with the medius and the minimus.
Did you have, can I ask, Jane, did you have any exercise? Did the myotherapist give you an exercise at all?
No.
Nothing at all. Okay.
I was going to recommend to you next time to see a physio.
I tell you what we tend to see is in the gluteal muscles, most of them present with weakness. So there is an element of weakness there. But some of it is just related to the pain. If you clear the pain, the muscle goes back to strength again, and you don't need to do a lot of exercise. So you probably have a mild form, I would guess, because you got better without the exercise. So that's good. Now, the chances are if you've got some weakness there and you haven't sorted that out, then it might recur. That's the issue.
I do want... The trouble, that was what was my big problem was with this pain, I couldn't do all the exercises I have always done. I rode for many years and I walk and I, you know, do loads of things like that, and I couldn't do it, and it was really frustrating me.
Yep.
So, but it worked for me, and I'm going to see her again soon.
The other thing is...
Recap, and I'll... Yep.
How long did you have it for before you went to the Mayo?
Oh, about 6 months.
You had it for 6 months. That's a really good success story, I must say, because most times, the other thing I was going to suggest is when you've had it for a short amount of time, so a few weeks, things tend to get better much easier.
Yeah.
But if you've had it for 6 months and you've recovered from two sessions of Mayo, that's great. It's really good.
Well, they were treating me for bursitis because I had one on my knee.
Yeah.
And it was a hospital clinic, and they said, well, seeing you've got that on your knee, this could be bursitis too.
Look, as I said earlier, the stories where you have people for 12 months, 18 months having serial injections one after the other and they don't get better. So it's very common, your story.
Mm. And Jane, I didn't know I was that smart because that was before I met Peter.
You know you're brilliant.
Oh, look, I love you. You're just saying that.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, Jane, before you go. You there? Listen, I can give you a family pass to the zoo then, to the Royal Melbourne show. I think you'd like to go to the show, wouldn't you?
I'll take my beautiful Freya with me, my granddaughter.
I think you should. You take your beautiful granddaughter along to the Royal Show, a family pass for the Royal Show, and that will be available between 22nd of September and the 2nd of October. I intend to hear the whole story about your trip to the show. And, we'll need to talk about some exercises. Peter's going to tell us about some exercises for this right away.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Now, you're going to tell us about, for the glutei, what are the you said to me something that made such a difference in my life. You said, at night, what do you do?
One of the things, it goes back to the compression.
You're going to love this, ladies.
Taking away compression, and that is to sleep with a pillow or a towel between your knees. Now, if you're
rolling over is a problem.
If you're a female and you lie on your side, what you'll tend to notice, and you can, if you try it now, if you lie on your side, your thigh bone goes down. So it's on a downwards angle.
An angle.
Yeah, because of the fact that you've got a wider pelvis than males. So, and that causes a lot of compression at night. So what we tend to do is try and aggressively keep them out of that compressive position.
But you have to strap the pillow to your knee because it sort of falls out.
Did you try that?
No, I don't know how to strap it to my knee. I'll try it tonight. Everyone go home and
What I tend to do is give them a very light little TheraBand, which is the resistance band that physios use.
Yeah.
And I just, a yellow TheraBand, so it's not very...
It's very romantic, by the way.
And there's a lot of very romantic things that we do, unfortunately.
You physios, I don't know. But the thing is, it was really interesting because as soon as I did that, I actually noticed in myself that I thought, oh, that doesn't feel the way it felt before. It's a really interesting thing to try. Yeah. We've got a bloke. Hello, Tim. You there, Tim?
Oh, yes, hello.
Nice to hear from a male. Good of you to call.
I don't have hip problems.
That's right.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Sally. Thank you, Peter. I've had a lot of chronic tendon problems for a long time, over a lot of years. And I've got two questions for Peter. One is, he mentioned, like, exercise is the best thing for them, but specifically sort of what type of exercise. Like, I know there's a lot being said about eccentric exercise.
Yep.
And the other thing I just wanted you to elaborate on, please, was the systemic factors that you spoke about before that you said that possibly could be preventing them from healing.
That's a good point. And is this, because we were talking about with glutei, but can this be all sorts of tendinopathies can be related to them?
Absolutely.
Go ahead. That's where the blokes,
Absolutely. The only tendon that isn't systemic is patellar tendinopathy, because that tends to happen in people that are young. Patellar tendinopathy you don't get unless you're very young and jumping and doing a lot of running and that type of thing. But to answer your first question, Tim, I think the exercise that we give for it depends on how someone presents. So eccentric training is very good and has a place and is very good for certain things. One of those things is, you know, you can load people up and really get a response out of the tendon, the muscle. But for other people, it's a very bad idea. And that's what I spend a lot of my time. One of the things I do a lot is teaching to physios and other clinicians about tendons. And we have come to a point now, because of some research, we're at a point now where everyone thinks about eccentric training and nothing else. But sometimes it's not the right thing to do. And there are other things that are better. So it depends on how you present. I'll give you an example. If you're very weak, eccentric training may not be a good thing, because you're missing out on doing the concentric part. Now, just to explain to people...
Can you explain the difference between
eccentric, those? Eccentric is when you're contracting the muscle, but it's also lengthening at the same time. So that would be if you're on your tippy toes and you sort of lower your heel down, that's an eccentric contraction of the calf, because it's lengthening and it's controlling your body weight down.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the concentric is when you're pushing up. That's the other way. So basically...
So you're talking about getting out of the stilettos, not getting into the stilettos.
Exactly.
I get it.
But the difference is that the concentric, with all sort of exercise in the body, you only get good at the things that you do. So if you are not doing the concentric, you're not going to get good at it. And if you're weak in the concentric, then that could be an issue. So that's what we find with some people.
What I think I'm hearing very loud, Tim, and I'm sure you're hearing as well, is really, if someone's got this sort of problem, don't just sort of think about what exercises you used to do, but get advice on what are the right exercises, because you could be really doing the wrong exercises.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think seeing a physio, Tim, see a physio and get them to and go through that with them. And, that's a good idea.
You know, Tim, I think there's a whole show, and I'm going to get Peter back later in the summer. I think there's a whole show on Achilles tendon. Don't you agree?
Most definitely.
We will do that.
I just wanted to add that a lot of the advice that you actually do get is, it's not very helpful.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we do. Now, just like you go and see a specialist medical practitioner when you want something done, you need to see a specialist, a physio who's got an interest in that area. I'm sure just like doctors, a physio will tell you if they don't have a special interest in that. So when you're making an appointment with a physio, say, have you got any physios who have a special interest in whatever that problem is? Tim, thanks for your call. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
See you later. And we will get you back, Peter, to talk about, I think there's a million, each tendon in itself, I think we could spend a whole 2 hours on. Of course, we don't have 2 hours tonight because we've got another show from 7 to 8. We're doing something completely different. But we can take a break and come back with more after this.
Hey, a little bird told me it's the Jayco Almost Summer Sale. Summer is just around the corner, which means it's the perfect time to go caravanning. And right now has never been a better time to buy. With the Swift Camper Trailer from just $15,990. The popular 16-foot Starcraft Caravan from just $38,990, and more great savings across our entire range. Plus, receive a free solar pack valued at $1,300 with every RV purchased. So, for those in the know, the Jayco Almost Summer Sale starts September 13. For your nearest dealer, visit jayco.com.au.
Pardon me, boy.
Direct from the USA, the world-famous Glenn Miller Orchestra is coming soon to Melbourne. By popular demand, an extra show, Monday, November 19th, at the special time of 6:30, is now on sale. Starring the Glenn Miller Orchestra, the Broadway Swing Dancers, and the Moonlight Serenade Singers. Join us at the new Hamer Hall, Monday, November 19th at 6:30. Hurry, book now at the Arts Centre, 1300 182 183, or online at artscentremelbourne.com.au.
Barry Bowen gets a special weekend rate on moving vans from Budget.
A budgetary question, Budget.
Shoot.
Say Barry borrows a van to help move his brother Brian. What's the best that Budget can do?
That would be $295 for the whole weekend.
$295 for the whole weekend? That's great.
But wait.
There's more?
You get a hydraulic lift and a hand trolley.
No steak knives?
Sorry.
Get a moving van for $295 from 4pm Friday to 9am Monday. Call 13 27 27. Full details at budgettrucks.com.au.
Ross Newton are Australia's largest stockist of Jason Lazy Boy. Right now, get a leather Jason Lazy Boy recliner for only $999. Lazy Boy electric lift chairs, only $999. Save $400 off all Lazy Boy suites. That's right, save $400 on all Jason Lazy Boy lounge suites. Sale ends soon at Dandenong, Nunawading, Thomastown, Hoppers Crossing and Geelong.
Sit back and relax with Ross Newton, R-O-T-H, Newton.
The limited edition Kia Sorento Global Circuit is back. Check out the extras. Side steps, nudge bar, tow kit, cargo protector, tailored mats, roof racks, and the world famous Global Circuit badging. Over $3,700 extra value from $49,990 drive away. Plus, a bonus $2,000 My Gift Card. Perfect for the holidays. Stocks are strictly limited, so hurry into your Kia dealer today before they're all gone.
SLI diesel price, participating dealers only. Offer September 30.
Wouldn't you like more energy and vitality? If your body keeps saying low battery, then why not join thousands of energized Aussies? Plug into NatureBee and keep going all day long. This week only from NatureBee, you get not one, not two, but 3 months supply for just $55 plus postage. Plus, we'll throw in a free bottle of Omega 3. That's right, 3 months supply for $55 and a free bottle of Omega 3. Call 1-800-147-009. 1-800-147-009.
Talking Health with Dr. Sally Coburn for Beds for Backs, your health bed store.
We're talking tendons tonight. Well, you are until 7 o'clock, and I'm joined by Dr. Peter Maliaris, who's a consultant physiotherapist. And on the line is Helen. Hello, Helen.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
I'm just ringing up to find out. I've sort of been diagnosed with peroneal tendonitis.
Let me just explain to people, that's a foot condition, not an obstetric condition. Yes.
Oh.
No, there's another. There is a perineum and a peroneal nerve.
Perineal.
And
yes.
The perineum is another bit.
No. Perineal,
yeah.
Down the foot.
Yep.
And basically, I just wanted to know if cortisone injections sort of help move that along, because I'm planning to do the Melbourne Marathon in October.
It depends on your symptoms. What's when are you getting pain?
When
after
I'm running. No, during the run.
Is it
when
the start,
pulling,
middle or end of the run? Or?
Well, it starts probably, usually kicks in around the 6 kilometre mark and gets worse and worse.
Okay, it gets worse and worse. And is it worse for days afterwards or not really?
Yeah, it's constantly there. But
okay.
Walking
in that
on
case,
it's okay.
I would recommend getting an ultrasound scan. If there's fluid around the sheath of the peroneal tendons, then a guided ultrasound injection into that is the best way to clear it up, especially given you're 4 or 5 weeks out of the marathon.
Yep.
So something like that, but get a referral to somewhere like imaging at Olympic Park or Paran Sports Medicine, where they see a lot of peroneal, because peroneal tendons are very delicate, very small, and the sheath is very thin, so it's hard. You need a good radiologist to actually get the needle into the sheath and actually clear up that irritation.
And this is a good thing that radiologists are now doing intervention. They're actually doing these procedures as well as doing the diagnosis.
Yep.
We're going to run out of time very shortly, so I want to make sure we get this out, Helen, because the diagnosis is really important, and so to get that ultrasound by a radiographer or a radiologist who knows what they're doing and has a special interest in that.
One more point on that. The other thing about peroneal tendinopathy, it's often a biomechanical thing, Helen.
Mm,
so often people will be put into shoes that control their pronation, so these really heavy shoes that control pronation, and that can give them
a
peroneal tendinopathy.
I think that's what's happened to me.
So you've got to be careful biomechanically, often changing your footwear, your
orthotic. So a podiatrist would help there?
Exactly,
This is this whole multidisciplinary approach we need to take, and especially with sports people. Helen, we're going to run out of time shortly.
Thank you.
Thank you for
my question. Thank you.
We'll be interested to know how you go. Now, Peter, you're going to have to come back. I'm sorry, you just can't get out of
very
it that easily.
Very happy to.
To talk about other tendons because I think it really is an important thing. So,
yes.
Dr. Peter Meliaris, thank you so much. And
thank
that's
you very much, Sally.
Physioeast.com.au. Yes. And it's been great having you on the show. And we're all going to go out and put pillows between our legs tonight and strap them to our knees. You're not both knees, you're just one. And that will be interesting. We're going to be back after the news talking about a new discovery and a new research about prevention of dementia. I hope you'll stay with us for more Talking Health, and we'll be back after the news.
News.
13 degrees in Melbourne, showers clearing tomorrow, a top of 18 at 7 o'clock. Good evening, I'm Ashley Brown. Opposition leader Tony Abbott says the violent scenes during a pro-Islamic protest in Sydney are not reflective of Australia's Muslim population. Around 200 demonstrators clash with police. Six people have been charged, while six police officers were injured after a protest over a US-made anti-Islamic film became heated. Mr. Abbott says what people have seen has horrified them.
I do not believe that the people on the streets of Sydney yesterday were truly representative of Islam. I don't believe that the ugliness we saw on the streets of Sydney yesterday fairly reflects the Islamic people of our country.
There's been another deadly attack on NATO forces serving in Afghanistan as details emerge about the Taliban attack on Friday, which killed two British soldiers. More from the BBC's Bilad Sawawi.
The four NATO soldiers were killed by an Afghan policeman as they were trying to stop an insurgent attack on a police checkpoint. The checkpoint was in a remote area of Zabul province, close to the Pakistan border. So far this year, 51 NATO soldiers have been killed by their Afghan colleagues. No details have also emerged about Saturday's attack on NATO's Camp Bastion in Helmand. Six U.S. Harrier jets were destroyed in the attack, during which 15 insurgents managed to breach the perimeter of the camp. According to NATO, the insurgents were wearing American Army uniforms.
Back home, and a Ballarat man has been charged over the stabbing of a woman on Friday afternoon. The victim was allegedly attacked on the corner of Sturt and Lyodard Street at around 2:40 in the afternoon. She was taken to hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. 31-year-old Luke Warren has been remanded in custody on charges of intentionally causing serious injury. Deputy Opposition Leader Julie Bishop has admitted there could be public sector job cuts if the Coalition wins the next federal election. State Coalitions in Queensland, New South Wales and Victoria have cut thousands of jobs, blaming the previous Labor governments for huge budget blowouts. Ms Bishop has told 10 the Gillard government is living above Australia's means and hard decisions will have to be made.
Given what we've seen in the federal budget, Wayne Swan's racked up cumulatively the largest budget deficits in Australia's history. They've spent about $150 billion more than they've brought in revenue. Then, of course, an incoming coalition government will have to take the hard decisions, as we've done before and we'll do again.
Victorians are being reminded of the importance of working smoke alarms after a house fire in Ripponlea. A mother managed to evacuate her children after a fire started in the laundry of her Oak Grove home and spread to the roof and hallway. MFB Commander Peter Egan says a working smoke alarm has again saved lives.
We get house fires right throughout the year, and we always ask people to have smoke alarms installed in their home, and more importantly, they have to be working, and also to have a home escape plan. When you do have a fire in your house, your smoke alarm operates, activate your home escape plan as well.
Updating sport now, and defending supercar champion Jamie Whincup remains at number one heading into the Bathurst 1000. Despite coming third in the Sandown 500, Holden teammate Craig Lowndes snared the win, while Ford's Mark Winterbottom came in second. Australia is just one win away from returning to the Group 1 in Davis Cup tennis. A win in the doubles to Leighton Hewitt and Chris Guccione has given the Aussies a 2-1 lead over Germany. Tonight, Bernard Tomic faces Florian Mayer. Leighton Hewitt says he's feeling good about his upcoming clash against Cedric Stebe.
I've waited a year for this opportunity, and let's wait and see. Hopefully Bernie can finish it off. That would please me nothing more. So, I'd love Burnley to finish it off. If I'm called upon, though, I'll be ready.
Collingwood defender Alan Tuvey says last night's 13-point semi-final win against the West Coast was an emotional night after paying tribute to former teammate John McCarthy.
In the rooms afterwards, very emotional. I think it was, definitely a really emotional game, probably the most emotional game that I've ever played in.
News time, it's 7:05.
The limited edition Kia Sorento Global Circuit is back.
Check out the extras. Side steps, nudge bar, tow kit, cargo protector, tailored mats, roof racks, and the world famous Global Circuit badging. Over $3,700 extra value from $49,990 drive away.
Plus, a bonus $2,000 My gift card.
Perfect for the holidays. Stocks are strictly limited, so hurry into your Kia dealer today before they're all gone.
SLI diesel price, participating dealers only. Offer ends September 30.
You'll go your whole life not needing a lawyer.
And then, bam, suddenly you need one instantly.
And it could be to do with an accident at work or on the road.
And maybe there's a family problem and you have to get your affairs in order.
And now you need a good lawyer you can trust.
And someone with the right kind of experience.
Slater and Gordon, not a problem. Call 1-800-555-777.
And it really was not a problem.
3AW weather.
Getting down to 10 degrees overnight with a top tomorrow of 18. Partly cloudy conditions and showers developing during the morning. For Tuesday, the chance of thunderstorms a top of 18. Wednesday, a shower or two, 20. Thursday, a little rain, 21. And for Friday, a top of 18. Some morning rain, then showers. On the bays, west to southwesterly winds to 10 knots tomorrow morning and waves below half a metre. Right now, it's 13 degrees in Vermont, 12 at Wyndham Vale. And in the city, it's 13 degrees. Ashley Brown, Melbourne Zone, 3AW.
Talking health with Dr. Sally Coburn. For Beds for Backs, your health bed store.
Welcome back to the show. It's another hour of Talking Health. We'll be with you for it. I'm glad to have your company. And if you'd like to be part of the show, 96900693. That's 96900693. Hey, or you can tweet me, although I can't see the tweet at the moment, but I'm happy to sort of tweet you later. It's at Dr. Sally Coburn, at Dr. Sally, and it's C-O-C-K-B-U-R-N. And I'm so into the tweeting now. I'm loving it. This hour, I want to talk about something very special. It is coming up to being Dementia Awareness Week, and you know how I feel about bringing sensitive topics out into the open. And the fabulous people at Alzheimer's Australia Victoria do just that. And so I'm joined in the studio by the CEO of Alzheimer's Australia Victoria, and that is Marie McCabe. Welcome, Marie.
Thank you, Sally. Great to be here.
And also an old friend of the show. He's been on before, but he's coming in with a new title, and that is Associate Professor Michael Woodward. He's a director of the Memory Clinic at the Austin Health, but he is the brand new Chief Medical Advisor of Alzheimer's Australia Victoria. Congratulations on your new appointment, Michael.
Thank you, Sally. It's a great honour to be able to share this time with you and hopefully some of my knowledge and thoughts about this important issue.
And the reason you've come on is because there is some new research out. It is Dementia Awareness Week, and you're going to be announcing this new, I suppose, initiative, and I'd love to know more about it. Marie, what can we say about it?
Okay, great. Well, we launched today Your Brain Matters, and it's really about looking after your body, brain and heart. And around this, certainly growing evidence to show that looking after that will make a difference to reducing our risk of dementia into the future.
Well, I think that's what everybody would want. And until now, it's been like, is it a deck of cards that gets delivered and we just take the luck of the draw? But if we can actually put things into place to prevent it, I think everyone would jump at it.
Absolutely. And, you know, prevention is worth a pound of cure and makes a difference.
I know that with any medical condition, we talk about prevention, but we know that some can be prevented and some can't. And we know that dementia is an umbrella term. So I imagine there are certain types of dementia that we can prevent and some probably that still are going to happen. Is that right, Michael?
Yes, no, it's true. We know more about preventing Alzheimer's disease, the most common form of dementia, and Your Brain Matters, or BTB, I like calling it, brain ticker and body, is the best way to think about this. This is actually the first time we've had a public health awareness campaign, the first time anywhere in the world to try and reduce the risk of dementia. Now, as you imply, the other forms of dementia are possibly less preventable because we just haven't done the research, or maybe they really aren't at this stage preventable.
Although vascular vascular dementia, which should be somewhat preventable by the same sort of means, shouldn't it? Because if we can control cholesterol, blood pressure and things like that, that should help vascular dementia, or is the research not done?
That's true. It's certainly preventable. And in fact, there's a lot of overlap between vascular risk factors and Alzheimer's disease. And often the two processes are somewhat mixed together. But other somewhat rarer forms of dementia, like dementia with Lewy bodies, frontotemporal dementia, are less preventable. I suppose another very preventable one is alcohol-related dementia. We can do something about that.
We certainly can. And I suppose the sort of prevention techniques, and we're going to get into those in a minute, are probably good for you anyway.
Indeed. In fact, what's good for your heart and good for your general health, we know now is good for your brain. So if you can keep your cardiovascular risk factors such as blood pressure, cigarette smoking, diabetes under control, you're not only helping your heart and your general body, you're actually directly helping your brain. And, you know, with 1,600 new people with dementia every week here in Australia, currently about 70 to 80,000 in Victoria, we really need to do something about this. And Your Brain Matters is an insight into what we can do as an individual and what we can do as a society.
That's a lot of people with that diagnosis. Some people would be saying, oh, is that just because we've got rid of most other things and this is what's left at the bottom of the barrel, or are we actually seeing more of this?
It'd be a shame to think of dementia as the bottom of the barrel.
I didn't mean it like that, sorry.
But it's actually already the third most common cause of death amongst females, and within a few decades it'll be number one, and very soon number one amongst males. So we're actually talking about the major health issue that our society is facing, and an epidemic with increasing obesity, increasing diabetes, the risk of dementia is actually going up, and we need to do something about this.
Well, I suppose what I was trying to find out is it that I see if you have a pie and there are all the diseases that cause death in the pie, and you remove some of those diseases, that is the biggest slice going to be dementia? Is it that we're seeing more of it, as in if the people who hadn't died of other things, they would have got this, or is it something new that's on the horizon?
It's true that not a lot of emphasis has been placed on dementia reduction, dementia risk reduction, preventing dementia. A lot of the public health budget has been spent on the other conditions such as diabetes, heart disease, cancer, and what have you. And yes, it's true that we lag behind many of the other conditions, and yet we're so much more important. As Marie knows, the amount of money that's spent on research and on public health funding for dementia is way behind its importance to our society.
Would I dare to say that this is because people with, let's say, breast cancer have got a loud voice, people with, say, other conditions who can stand up, but people with dementia don't have a voice, and often their carers are so busy caring that they don't have a voice either, which is why we have Alzheimer's Australia.
Absolutely, and I think, Sally, it's really important to say that the stigma is one of the things that gets in the way of people speaking out, and it's also a barrier to them seeking treatment, and we want people to seek treatment early. Timely diagnosis is really important, and it really is part of our role as the peak body here in Victoria to raise the profile and reduce the stigma and raise awareness about dementia.
It's interesting thinking about a preventative program because if you think about, I remember VicHealth, it would have been about 10 years ago, brought out Exercise Your Mental Health as a means of looking at mental illness as being akin to physical illness, and that is you exercise your body, why don't you exercise your emotions and your psychological state? And in a way, this is a similar sort of thing, that here's a condition that carries with it a certain amount of stigma, but if we can make everyone realise, well, I'm doing my Alzheimer's prevention exercises, so to speak, it may take away some of the stigma because we're talking about it in normal conversation.
And isn't it great that some of these strategies that can be used for one condition can also work for other conditions? In fact, basically, a healthy lifestyle, a good diet, exercise, remaining socially engaged, looking after our blood pressure, looking after our ticker, all of these are actually looking after our brain and reducing dementia risk.
And now, we released an app last year to support people in doing that, and it's called Brainy App. And it's a free download, and you can get it on iPhones, and we've just released it in Android.
Oh, thank you.
And, that's for everyone, so it's now freely
available.
I've got
one of each.
Excellent. Well, then double.
So that's Brainy App.
Brainy App.
So if you go to iTunes or you go to your Google store, you can find Brainy App.
Yep, free
and
download.
And it's actually things that you can, do stuff?
It's a questionnaire, and what it does is it asks a series of questions around your weight, your height, what you eat, your exercise habits, your social connectedness, all of the things that are important in risk reduction, and then it gives you a score out of 1600 and then sends you the top three tips that you can do that will make a difference to your brain health, and then daily sends you reminders about things that will make a difference. It's fantastic.
So, Michael, I know that one of the things we always look at is evidence base, and we look at the fact that in order to be able to claim something is prevention, there must be some research to back it. So this sort of thing has been shown, obviously, in research to to work.
Yes, there's some good data that shows that reducing diabetes or better managing diabetes can have a significant impact on the total number of people with dementia in the world, reducing blood pressure, making sure that people exercise regularly. There's actually done quite a lot of modelling and there's increasing evidence in intervention trials to show the benefit of this in dementia prevention. And I guess the important thing is that we have to do this, Sally, because we're going to be waiting decades probably before we have effective cures and treatments for this condition. As much as I like to be optimistic, I think we're still some way away from the magic bullet that will stop us getting dementia.
I think the other thing too is when we talk about exercise, people immediately people who aren't into exercise close down because they think, well, I'm not going to go to the gym, I'm not going to start being a marathon runner, but I imagine we're not actually talking about that degree of exercise.
Any form of physical exercise within our capabilities can help. So just getting out of the chair, just watching less TV, just walking down to the shops rather than jumping in the car can all be useful for increasing our physical exercise. And in fact, Nicola Lautenschlager, a professor of psychogeriatrics here in Melbourne, has done some very interesting research on the benefit of such exercise in those with Alzheimer's disease, showing the benefits.
I must say, when you say watch less television, or get a treadmill and put it in front of the television. And I think most of us have got tucked away in some garage somewhere, their treadmill that we bought in 1983 and have never used, or, like me, the rowing machine that's standing in the corner of the room looking like a very nice piece of furniture, but it must go down on the ground and be used. And I think we need to actually to realise it doesn't actually mean you have to go and pay a lot of money for a gym class.
And look, it's a really great way to catch up with people is, you know, wander down, go for a walk, catch up for a coffee. That's
dogs
right.
are the most amazing piece of health advice you can have, a dog. And I find I talk to, well, now that I've got, I'm now a dog owner, you see, and I find that I talk to people, we don't talk about ourselves, we talk about our dogs, but you walk.
Yeah.
And you remain socially engaged when you're walking dogs because you meet other people who are walking dogs, you've got some conversation going, and that social engagement is actually also a way of reducing dementia.
Now, is that because it just, I mean, I'm sort of looking for the physiological proof of that. Does it do stuff to your chemistry in your brain? Is that why it works? Why does social engagement work? Do we know?
It's probably building up the number of synapses. The more you stimulate your brain, the more synapses, connections between between brain cells are formed, and they act as a barrier. They act as a reserve, so that even if you start developing Alzheimer's or other pathology, you've got some sort of reserve to dig into before you start developing the symptoms of dementia. So this concept of cognitive reserve is gaining increasing traction and understanding.
We've got Glenda on the line. She may, I think, have a question exactly along those lines. Hi, Glenda. You there, Glenda? Hello, Glenda. No, don't know where Glenda is. You wait there, Glenda, if you're still listening. We'll come back.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Sorry. Hello. Go ahead, Glenda.
Oh, Sally, is that you?
It's me.
Oh, this is Glenda.
Hello, Glenda.
And Professor?
It's Professor Michael Woodward and Marie McCabe.
Professor
You can
Michael?
Just call him Michael and Marie.
Michael and Marie. I have had blood pressure, I've been on blood pressure treatment since my
Sorry, I was just saying, can you turn your radio down?
Yes, because I'm turning it off.
Because what happens is we have a 7-second delay, so you'll hear us in your living room seven seconds, and it's a bit like. Do you remember that show, Glenda? Do you remember the show, The Pied Piper, with Keith? I can't remember his name, and they used to trick little kids by putting headphones on them, and then they'd pay their voices back a couple of seconds later.
I was probably too busy looking after mothers.
Ah, exactly.
I had to be thrown back into the workforce at 38 because of the high interest rate. And I had to work from 38 or just on 50, and then, of course, it was weddings and, and catering. I've just done so much. But to think that my brain can still retain all these 10-digit numbers.
Your star.
All the mobiles, all my country friends' numbers.
Wow.
All my, I only have a few friends in the city, but my family's numbers, but also their mobiles. I've only just learned another 10-digit one this week.
Well, can I just ask, Michael, that's the sort of thing that shows, isn't it, that her brain is working because she can get new memories in there.
Indeed. One of the features of something like dementia is the inability to form new memories. You can remember things that happened 10 years ago, but you can't remember what happened 10 minutes ago when you have advancing dementia. So that's a very good sign. But also just trying to remember numbers, just trying to manipulate numbers in your brain is another way of creating those synapses, those connections between brain cells that actually helps to stave off dementia.
So actually this is the sort of exercise that Glenda's doing, is helping, keeping her active.
Exactly. It's not only a sign that her brain is working, it's actually keeping her brain working.
Aren't you? Isn't it wonderful to know you're doing that, Glenda?
I have been on blood pressure treatment for 55 years.
It's probably served you well then, by the sounds of it.
But it's got to 160 now and it just won't go down. But I do have a specialist physician and a GP.
Good.
But I do wish they'd changed the tablets that I've been on. I've been on for a long time. And I rather suspect that maybe my body's become accustomed to them.
It doesn't tend to happen like that, really, Glenda. It might be that that your body has changed and they may need to add another one in. Well, the way we work with blood, and maybe I should bow in deference to you on this one, Michael, but with blood pressure we tend to, rather than take someone off, we tend to add other ones in. Obviously, if you get up to lots, we might reassess the whole thing. But it's worth discussing with them whether you need any other medication.
Indeed. And in fact, there's a big study from Europe, the systolic European study or SysEuro study, that showed that if you do manage blood pressure in older age, you do risk, and indeed in middle age, you do reduce the risk of subsequent dementia, including Alzheimer's disease.
Well, I've done my best with my memory bank. As my pastoral care minister, he thinks I'm just quite amazing.
Fantastic. And, oh, that's great, Glenda.
But I do diet. I have no fat in my yogurt. I have no fat milk. I do look after myself, you know, as best I can.
You're doing some physical exercise?
I can't do a lot because I can't walk. My back gave out from, I used to chop wood, mow buffalo grass when I was young. I nursed my mother before I was married.
Oh, you're a good woman.
I've done just so much, catered for all my 21st birthdays for over 60 people with hot and cold buffets.
What about water aerobics or sort of swimming then? Or something like that you could do that doesn't take a weight on your back? Have you thought about that, to get some exercise?
Well, the exercise I get around, I do get tired. That's the thing. It makes me very tired. Okay. I have to have a walker even inside because my balance is not good.
Now, you know that there are special clinics that you can go to for balance. There are balance clinics. Worth actually talking to your doctor about a referral to a balance clinic, because, in fact, Glenda, what it could be is that your core muscles are weakened and that actually makes your balance worse. So it's really worth going to see a balance clinic. Michael.
Yes, we have a falls and balance clinic at the Austin Hospital where I work, but there are many of them around Melbourne and around Victoria.
I'm in Blackburn.
There's one at the Eastern Suburbs Aged Care Service through Peter James and
our
GP. James Centre.
Your GP will know. Yes. Your GP will know the local things.
My daughter is very high up in nursing.
Excellent. I'll talk to her. She'll know. She'll be able to pull some strings.
I've gone into this, I've been granted a package so that I can stay home.
And now, I'm so pleased you said that, and I'd like you to put a bit of a plug in, because there's a lot of people listening right now, Glenda, who will think that one of those assessments, the ACAT type assessments, means that you're going to go to a nursing home, as people say, the N word. But in fact, what you're saying is you've had an ACAT assessment and that's about staying home.
Oh yes, I want to stay here until I really have to be taken out.
And this is exactly what everybody wants in aged care, is for you to be at home as long as you possibly can. What a great advertisement for ACAT you have been. Glenda,
thank you so much.
I just have to say thank you very much for your call.
Well, thank you. And I listen to you as often as I can. Oh, well, thank you.
And listen, your daughter and you, when was the last time you went to the show?
Oh, goodness knows.
Is it something you'd be into, or maybe your daughter would like to go to the show?
Well, my daughter would love to take her two children.
Well, why don't we give you a family pass to go to the Royal Show, and you can give that to her from us?
I would love to go, but I could take my my walker, and then I can sit down when I need to.
You could indeed, and you could also see, I'm sure, well, I don't know, but I'm assuming they must have some sort of hiring service or something like that. But Glenda, we'd love to give you a family pass to go to the Royal Show to do with as you wish, and that, of course, the Royal Show for everybody else is on between the 22nd of September and the 2nd of October, the great Melbourne institution.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Hang on the line and we'll get your details, Glenda. Thanks for your call. And we can take a break and come back with more after this.
G'day, this is Dennis Walter. Don't you love spring? I've been enjoying the garden. You can almost see the grass growing. It is a fantastic time of year, and spring means footy finals. It means spring racing carnival. It means we're in the countdown to Christmas.
Dennis Walter, back in your afternoon tomorrow.
Can I tell you something? I like working. I'm looking forward to being back on air, interviewing the stars, chatting to my regulars, and most importantly, chatting to you. Hope you can join me from midday tomorrow
on Melbourne's Own 3AW.
On The Real Housewives of Moonee Ponds, daughter-in-law bought mother-in-law a present.
A Bissell lift-off deep cleaner.
Glenys, this two-in-one machine comes with a portable spot cleaner. And it cleans the carpet and lifts out nasty allergens that make little Petey have a sneezy.
Apparently. There are 4,000 times more bacteria on the carpet than the toilet seat.
And the Bissell lift-off deep cleaner is approved by...
the National Asthma Council Australia's Sensitive Choice Program.
Deep cleaning is all the rage, Glenys. The Bissell lift-off deep cleaner. 30-day money-back trial now at Harvey Norman. Conditions apply. Bissell, experts in home cleaning.
It's game on at Honda. Because across the range, from the all-new Civic Hatch to the award-winning CRZ, prices are in great shape. Like the luxurious Accord, with its amazing blend of efficiency and refinement from a very trim $29,990 drive away. Or the precise harmony of the Civic Sedan from just $22,990 drive away. So come on, switch on, it's game on at your nearest Honda dealer now.
Havens Riverfront Terrace Homes. Unconditional luxury on the riverfront. 15 north-facing, 2 to 4 bedroom homes, nestled in tranquil bushland, just 3.5 kilometres east of the CBD. Imagine direct access to the Yarra River from your own secure landscape front yard. Priced from $820,000 to $2.3 million. Visit riverterraces.com.au today.
If you're a boss, you don't want your workers feeling neglected and cracking the sads. Because when workers feel unloved, things can go pear-shaped. And whether you're making mattresses or styling hair, pear-shaped is not good for business. But what's great is signing up for free work health checks. Because when you do, your workers feel loved. And that makes them happy and pleasingly productive.
Sign your business up for free work health checks at workhealth.vic.gov.au. WorkSafe's work health checks can save lives and keep your workers healthy.
And productive.
One in five of us are affected.
10% of us will have at least one.
And the numbers double for Indigenous Australians.
Just as quick as a click of your fingers, it can happen to anyone at any time.
What would you do if someone close to you was having a seizure?
My brother has it.
My sister has it.
I have it.
I have it too.
You're not alone.
You're not different.
And you have a bright future ahead of you.
So click for kids.
The Click Foundation, educating the community about epilepsy and seizure first aid. Find us on Facebook.
Grab London early and add Bali for free right now at Flight Centre. Fly return to London with Singapore Airlines from only $1,638. Plus, add a free Singapore stopover including one night's accommodation. Plus, add a free Bali side trip including return flight from Singapore to Bali. Hurry, on sale September 15 to 21st only. Talk to Flight Centre today or visit flightcentre.com.au. Conditions apply. License number 31089.
Call 131 600.
Talking Health with Dr. Sally Coburn for Beds for Backs, your health bed store.
I'm joined in the studio by Associate Professor Michael Woodward, who is the new Chief Medical Advisor for Alzheimer's Australia Victoria. He's also the Director of the Memory Clinic at Austin Health, and Marie McCabe, who is the CEO of Alzheimer's Australia Victoria. And now, Marie, it's Dementia Awareness Week coming up from the 21st to the 28th of September. Lots of things happening, and I gather people can find out more about this, but what are some of the highlights?
Oh, look, we've got a fabulous lecture on the 20th, actually, Sally, the day before that it officially starts, and that's at the Melbourne Convention Centre. And we have Dr. Serge Gauthier from McGill University in Canada, and he's going to be talking about brain health, Alzheimer's disease, and his talk is about titled Making the Connections. So he's looking at what are some of the risk reduction strategies that people can use, and also what are the links between chronic disease and dementia.
And if people want to book for this, is it free?
It is free.
Got to love free.
It's absolutely. They can go to our website at www.fightdementia.org/vic.
She nearly forgot it then. Did you like that?
I did. I had
fightdementia.org.au/vic.
That's it. Thank you so
much. Or
dial
1-800-100-500.
Thanks 1-800-100-500.
Gotta love that.
We've got about 250 people already booked, but it's going to be a fabulous day. So 10:30 to 12:30, Dr. Serge Gauthier.
And there's lots of other things on that are spread right around the community. And I see there's some stuff in Dandenong, some stuff in Manningham. There's all sorts of things going on that are really worth going to the website and having a look, or giving them a call. But and you've got regional events going on as well.
Indeed, we've got Sue Peters-Hawk coming down. And,
I love Sue Peters-Hawk.
She's fabulous.
If you haven't heard Sue Peters-Hawk talk, it is really worth it. Everybody, of course, knows about Hazel Hawk and her battle with dementia. And Sue is just the most passionate, committed person to the cause, really, and a fabulous public speaker.
Indeed.
I was going to say she gets it from her dad, but her mum was a really good public speaker, too.
She was amazing. And Sue's a great advocate, and really her knowledge, certainly in terms of caring for somebody living with dementia, is amazing. So.
And here's one that I think is really important. On the 19th of September, Joe Wayner, who another person who I just absolutely admire, Joe will be talking about For Love or Money, Financial Elder Abuse Seminar. Mm. Now, that sounds extraordinary. And that's going to be, now, where is that going to be on at? The Bendigo Club in 22 Park Street, Bendigo. So you're up in Bendigo. Is that one going to be repeated downtown?
No, not that I know of, but it'll be a fabulous one for people to be at.
Oh, excellent. We've got state trustees, Alzheimer's Vic is going to be there, and also some business advice, and I can't pronounce that name, Triantaphilos. And also the Business Alliance Manager, and also, that's her name, it's Vicky. Sorry, I've read it on the wrong. It's Vicky. I'm just going to say Vicky from Business Alliance Manager, the Business Alliance Manager from State Trustees. Sorry, Vicky, I'll get there eventually. If I read it from the top, not the bottom, back. It's like opening a magazine. I open at the back and work forward. It's very difficult to read the stories that way. Anyway, so there's some fantastic things going. So that website, again, is fightdementia.org.au/vic, or you can phone 1-800-100-500. I take it that line is open tomorrow morning?
Absolutely. That's our National Dementia Helpline.
Excellent.
So any inquiries, please, ladies and gentlemen, call the National Dementia Helpline.
And if you'd like to call us, 96900-693, if you've got any questions about making better connections, I love that, the fabulous new prevention strategy, which is called
Your Brain Matters.
And we've got Mary on the line. Hi, Mary.
Hello, good evening. Thank you, Sally, for having these wonderful people and raising this very important subject to my heart, and I know some other people's heart. I'm actually ringing about some clarification about the benefits or otherwise for Alzheimer's patients of music and TV. Why I'm asking is where my mother is in a nursing home. She was actually diagnosed about a month later than Hazel Hawk. Mm-hmm. So she's about that at that stage as well. But there are other people there who have just newly arrived, and there doesn't seem to be any type of stimulation, you know, music. They certainly don't have TV. And I have actually, in my frustration over the years, I've visited other nursing homes, and there's all, you know, in the common room, there's always a TV blaring, but whether that's good or not, I don't know. But at least there's some sort of movement. But the person who is in charge of this has been in charge for a number of years, just doesn't believe that, you know, TV is beneficial, because Alzheimer's people are usually elderly and they don't recognize that TV is not real. It may upset them. Music is also the similar sort of answer that I get, that it could upset them, it could bring back bad memories. So I'm very confused.
Let's get the expert opinion from the professor. And you can go back to the nursing home and say that you heard it from the Chief Medical Advisor of Alzheimer's Australia Vic, Michael Woodward. Michael, what is your opinion of this?
These are very important questions. There's actually quite a lot of research that shows that appropriate music can help to settle some of the unwanted behavioural disturbances that can occur in more advanced dementia. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be certain sorts of music that are more beneficial than others. Individualised music, the sort of music that you like rather than just background music that's chosen for everyone, probably is more effective.
So if your mum has favourite music, would that be, like if she had a musical that she used to listen to, would that be the sort of thing?
That can be very settling and also can stimulate the brain. Some people who have become almost mute because of their Alzheimer's disease can still sing an old song word perfectly. We're about to fund or at least consider funding a research program from Queensland looking at Baroque music and to see if that's better than other forms of music, for people with dementia. So music can certainly be helpful, but probably the right sort of music in the right sort of situation. TV, however, I think is a bit different. Just having a TV that's set on 24 hours a day, watching whatever comes on, kids' programs or what have you, may not be the best approach for keeping the brain stimulated and keeping unwanted behaviours modified. Again, though, appropriate TV programs for that individual may be helpful.
One of my patients who for many years was carer for three members of her family was put together the most amazing video of family events of members of the family and used to run this as a loop for her family members. Marie, is that the sort of thing that Alzheimer's Vic does? Is it, are you endorsing those sort of things? Or?
Well, look, music, as Michael said, really can make a difference because it really connects people to the things that were important to them in the past, and it can be quite soothing for people. And I mean, we know for ourselves, if there's music that we like to listen to, we find it relaxing. It, you know, it takes our mind off other things that we might be worried about. So there really is a benefit for many people in having music, and a number of homes, a number of residential aged care homes do have music therapy.
What about this video, like you were saying, it's sort of random TV, but what about videos of, or maybe like my dad, my dad's got all his faculties, but my dad loves watching Minder, and my daughter was able to buy him the whole series of Minder with Arthur Daly and Terry. And is there any merit in people seeing what they enjoyed on TV?
Indeed. There's actually quite a lot of research looking at iPads and having them loaded up with family photos or family video clips, or indeed having a simulated presence of a family member using an iPad, so that can be quite settling for a person, particularly when they're more behaviourally disturbed.
So can I just ask a question of you then? I'm going to put you on the spot, Marie. Mary's mother is in an aged care facility, and she's getting a bit of a pushback from the staff there on this issue. Would Alzheimer's be of assistance in advocating, like it can call someone in to have a bit of a, a talk to them, or is that something that you do? Or is that
not really, Sally. I guess one of the things, though, that I could say, Mary, is if you have an iPod and put on the iPod your mum's favourite music and then she can listen to it through earphones.
Yeah, they can't object to that.
That's right. And it may be that, you know, the manager's concerned about other residents not liking the same type of music and it being intrusive for other residents.
That's a good point. What about that,
but
Mary?
But you could do it in a very individual way.
Yes, well, look, I do that because I'm just so frustrated, and that isn't a problem. I've actually made her a life book. We have photographs in there. I take in CDs with the pictures, you know, the photographs and all that. So that's not a problem. My problem is when they sit in the common lounge for possibly 10 hours a day and all they do is stare at the wall. Oh. I mean, look, I've got to be fair. There are activities, but for the weekend, there's no activity.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to put a call out. Ken, where are you, Ken? Ken is one of our regular listeners who he'll be ringing in any second, because Ken visits aged care facilities and does wonderful work with movement therapy. It sounds to me, Mary, like if I was you, what I'd be doing is talking to your mum's GP and sort of suggesting, is there any other stimulation we can get for mum?
Anyway, I'm not only calling for my mum, I'm calling for the other.
I agree entirely. I hear you exactly.
Mary, one of the things we had recently at our leadership forum was a woman talking about bibliography, and it really, she was talking about stories and reading to people living with dementia and the difference that can make. And, you know, that might be something that you might like to do with your mum or some of the volunteers in the home.
While I'm there, but you see, I only visit two or three times a week. And you know, every time I walk in, it's like walking into a morgue.
Oh,
it literally is, you know. And I have voiced this, and there's just no to no avail.
Mary, there's some very interesting research coming from Sydney. My colleague Professor Henry Bradati there calls smile therapy too, where they actually have professional clowns come into residential care, and they can actually bring functions back to people with more advanced dementia that were thought to have been long lost. So the ability to simulate a tennis ball game or something like that. So there are a number of activities.
Games. Excuse me. I hope I don't get the wrong message through. They do have ball games, but what I'm trying to say is that the majority of the time when they're just sitting there doing nothing, they have, you know, I think maybe an hour a day of activities, but on Saturday and Sunday they have nothing. Well, it's up to the carers to play ball with them, and they do and they don't, you know.
One other comment I'd make, Mary, is that most people in nursing homes in high-level care, residential care, have dementia, usually Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia. Wouldn't it be wonderful if through the prevention that Your Brain Matters talks about, we can actually reduce the number of people with dementia, reduce the number of people needing residential care? Why do we need to have nearly 200,000 Australians in residential care when we can probably do something about it? And that's where Your Brain Matters can really have an impact, because the highest cost for dementia care is in fact residential care. If we can reduce the number of people with dementia, this issue of should I have a TV on, should I have music in the background, will be less important.
Yeah, and we'll come back and talk more about that in a minute. But
Mary, just one other thing. Most residential aged care homes have suggestion and comment sheets, so you know perhaps
she's
you could actually
write.
I've done that. I've got back, you know, answers left, right and centre, but from
the same person. I'd like you to... Is your GP the same GP your mum has, or do you...
No, unfortunately.
If I was you, I'd make an appointment to see your mum's GP, go and see them and have a chat about this and say you'd like, you want to see if you can get some more stuff for your mum. And the other thing, I'll tell you another group you might want to contact, and this is an interesting one, is Lord Smith Animal Hospital run a fantastic program called the PALS program. It's the Pets as Loving Support, and they actually take animals into aged care facilities.
Yes, they do have that. You know, I think it comes about once every 2 months or something.
I hear what you're saying,
I'm just saying the day-to-day things, you know, that there is about 8 to 10 hours sitting.
Yeah. Is she able to get around with you, or she's beyond
that? She can still walk, yes.
Well, you know
but
what I'd
her
like...
language is, all over the place.
I don't know whether this is appropriate, Mary, but I'd love to give you a pass to go to the Royal Show. And maybe if your mum's up to it, take her. If she's not, I understand. But I'd love to give you a pass.
I'd love that.
Because if she was up to it...
I didn't ring up for that.
No, I know you didn't. I know you didn't. But, I mean, I'm just sort of thinking, the Royal Show, of course, everyone remembers the Royal Show. And I'm sure, you know, if your mum was able to go, that she'd remember the cake stalls.
I don't think she would be able to walk that far, you know, because she's... But I'd love to take my grandchildren.
You take your grandchildren so they can build those memories.
Thank you.
And we can then keep that going for you and them. And that in itself is... And then you can take them in to talk to your mum about the show, and she may be able to talk to them.
And she just adores children. Yeah. I don't know I don't remember her loving children as much, but, you know, since she's had the Alzheimer's, she just... like a magnet to children.
And for your children to have something that they can talk to her about that she responds to will also, I suppose, make them have better memories of their grandmother too.
Yes, that's definitely.
Mary,
thank you so much. You're very welcome.
Hang on the line and thank you for your call. And look, I hope that maybe the manager of that nursing home is listening, or the manager of any aged care facility is listening at the moment who isn't doing or isn't able to get that. But it does take community involvement. We do need to actually get together, because they can only do so much because they're so short-staffed.
Well, that's true.
We do need the community to say, well, can I help with this? Can I go and do a PALS course and bring my dog
in
on the weekend?
But you see, the problem is that dementia unit people don't all have visitors.
I know.
You know, out of about 20 to 20 residents, maybe 3 get visitors.
And Mary,
it's terribly sad. And so there's no one to speak up for them.
And Mary, that's the power of volunteers.
Yes.
And, you know, it's great. There are some amazing volunteer programs and extraordinary people that go in and spend time with people who don't have visitors.
Mary, you might also benefit yourself from calling the Dementia Helpline at 1-800-100-500.
Yes, I've taken that, yes.
Yeah, just because you might talk through these issues with them and they may have some more ideas, or else you might want to get into an advocacy role yourself. You never know. You sound like you've just really put the story
on my soapbox. Can I just... to just ask, you said that Marie said that volunteers. I was told that volunteers cannot go into dementia units.
Not to my knowledge. It may depend on the policy of the residential aged care mm-hmm. home, Mary, but certainly no. I know the homes that I've been involved with in the past have volunteers who go into the to the dementia-specific areas.
And listen, I might just put this here. I'm not saying that you've got a problem with this facility. But
no, look, otherwise it's wonderful.
I was just going to say, but there are avenues. If people do have problems with facilities, there are avenues that you can go to at least ask. It's not the Health Services Commissioner because they come under the federal government, don't they? So where do people go? Of course, your dementia helpline can help, but who's the commissioner?
It's the CIS, the Department of Health and Ageing. So if
what's
you
CIS
check,
stand for?
It stands for the Complaints Investigation Scheme, okay. And that's how you make an external complaint. But, Mary, you know,
I know
that
like you're going to do that.
No, but and I know that
but that was just for anyone else.
That's right, yes. Mm. So if something's serious, it's always best to address it with the home first.
Indeed. Yes. But, Mary, look, it sounds like it's, yeah, don't, I don't think you take sort of, look, we've never done this way and we don't do it this way, unless they've got the evidence. You can come back and counter the evidence with what Michael's told you, and feel and go along to some of these events during Dementia Awareness Week and get empowered. You are.
But I'm, you know, I'm a lone person. But anyway, I'm working on it.
And there's a lot of people going, I'm with you, Mary. All power to you.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Mary. Hang on the line. We'll get your details and we can take a break and come back with more after this.
I'm Darren Hinch. Well, I was sacked, but now I'm back. Not for a long time, but for a good time. From tomorrow, same host, same program, news and views, yours and mine. You know what we do. Hope you join me.
Hinch, back on Drive tomorrow from 4 on Melbourne's own 3AW.
If you're looking for a training provider for your business, there's only one name you need to remember. Chisholm. Chisholm offers on-campus and workplace training, all delivered by experienced staff with a passion for inspiring people and seeing you succeed. Chisholm can also work with you to deliver tailored training programs for your business in a range of areas. Visit chisholm.edu.au/industry for more info. chisholm.edu.au/industry, where inspiration happens.
Did you spend all last night fighting with your computer? A computer that wouldn't print your kid's assignment, constantly froze, would not start, and would not close. You need Geeks to You. With our same day or it's free policy, call us by 10 a.m. and we'll come to you the same day or it's free. Conditions apply. Home or office, no one fixes computers like a geek. Visit geekstoyou.com.au. That's geekstoyou.com.au.
Simon? Simon, is that you?
Yeah.
Where have you been?
I bought a Jeep.
But you've been gone for so long.
I searched the world for the ultimate four-wheel drive.
It took you 6 months?
So I'm fussy.
But you could have found your new Jeep Grand Cherokee at City Jeep. You know, on the corner of Montague Street and Normanby Road, South Bank.
Okay. So now you tell me. Jeep, don't hold back.
LMCT 10929.
No monitoring fees ever. Let me repeat that. With the Care Alert Smart Dialer, you'll pay no monitoring fees ever. When a sudden illness or accident happens while at home, you simply activate your waterproof Care Alert pendant and within seconds, people of your choice can be notified that you need help. Even 000 can be called. All for under $300, delivered to your door and no monitoring fees ever. Visit carealert.com.au or call 1300 75 85 95.
Tyre Power gives you the power to score big time at our biggest ever footy final sale. Score big brand Kumho tyres for family cars now just $105 each. Tyre Power. Get the power of Australia's biggest independent. Visit tyrepower.com.au for your local owner operator.
Hi, Rob Sinclair from E&S Trading. Save $200 on all Miele washing machines, now from just $14.99. Save $500 on selected Miele cooking packages, now from just $24.97. T&Cs apply, offer ends October 31. Visit estrading.com.au.
Hi, I'm Professor Gus Nossal. As a medical researcher, I know how vital it is to find answers to important health questions, like how to prevent heart disease, dementia, and certain cancers. ASPIRIN is a GP-based study to find out if aspirin can help older people live healthier for longer. If you are 70 or over, in good health, and would like to participate, go to ASPIRE.org. That's ASPIRE.org.
Talking Health with Dr. Sally Coburn. For Beds for Backs, your health bed store.
Coming up on the 20th of September for a week, it is Dementia Awareness Week, and very much on the top of the list is the very new program from Alzheimer's Victoria, and that is the Your Mind Matters. And What we're talking about, I'm joined here, of course, in the studio by Associate Professor Michael Woodward, Director of the Memory Clinic at the Austin Health, and also the new Medical Advisor for Alzheimer's Australia Victoria, and Marie McCabe, the CEO of Alzheimer's Australia Victoria. And just let's go back to talking about this new program, the Your Mind Matters. Lots of research going on in that area. What other areas are you doing research in, Michael?
Yeah, it's true, Sally. Prevention is the area that we're highlighting in the Alzheimer's Awareness Week this year, and Your Brain Matters is a great way of having a practical application of this research. But we really need to better develop treatments for dementia. We need to be better at diagnosing dementia, and there's a lot happening in those areas. The Austin Health, we're doing a great deal of work on what we call neuroimaging, brain scans to diagnose various forms of dementia. We have a world-class PET centre that stands for positron emission tomography, not animals. PET centre that looks at better diagnosing dementia. And we have a number of therapeutic trials at the Austin and at other sites around Melbourne looking at drugs that we think actually are probably going to be most effective if they're used before the dementia becomes significant. So if we can actually pick up people who are developing amyloid and those other changes in their brain before they even have any memory problems, and we can do that with things like PET scans, we feel that the medications that we're developing might be able to stop them developing dementia. That's incredibly exciting.
It is, and one of the biggest problems we've got with the stigma is that, of course, people don't want to get diagnosed because they think, oh, if I go and get diagnosed, what's it going to do to my work, to my insurance, to my whatever? But in fact, that's a double-edged sword, because if you don't get diagnosed, you could miss that boat.
Certainly early diagnosis has been a focus of Alzheimer's Australia for the last 12 months, and it's a very important area. But I'm talking not about diagnosing the first signs of memory loss. I'm talking about using tests. So if you've got, say, a high risk of dementia because of a lot of people in your family or other risk factors for dementia, we can actually pick up amyloid in the brain with PET scans, and that might make you appropriate for some of these intervention studies. Mm. Think of it, though, not for you, as something you're actually doing for your grandchildren.
Exactly.
Because it takes about that long for research to be applied into useful treatments. So you've had your children, you've possibly had grandchildren, now's the time to contribute to society and to your own grandchildren's health by this sort of research.
And I imagine if people ring the Dementia Helpline, they'll be aware of what research projects may be looking for people?
Absolutely, Sally. We encourage people to do that. And, you know, I'm amazed at the generosity of some people who participate in our research projects.
And I think it is, as you say, it can be your gift to humanity if you get involved in a research project, because, you know, your involvement in that will help your grandchildren, as you said. And, I mean, if you think about, I'm just thinking of the example of the cervical cancer vaccine, totally unrelated to this medical problem, but if people hadn't got involved in the research project, we never would have had that vaccine that's, let's face it, going to save our grandchildren from cancer of the cervix.
Absolutely.
Hopefully we'll have a similar sort of thing happen with Alzheimer's.
And let's look at it the other way. If we don't do something about it, we're going to have 1 million people in Australia alone with dementia by 2050. It's going to be approximately 150 million people around the world. It is the epidemic of our age. We hear a lot about the epidemics of the past, the infectious disease epidemics, and now we've got the epidemics of obesity and diabetes and even cancer, but this is a huge epidemic that is actually swelling. And in fact, it's not Australia that's the most affected country. It's actually the developing countries like India and China, which are rapidly aging, that are going to be experiencing a far greater increase in number of people with dementia if we don't do something about it.
Now, Michael, we're told that the normal brain, if you look after your brain, and this is what Your Mind Matters, if we look after our heart, look after our cholesterol, look after our sugars and all that sort of thing, it isn't natural, it isn't normal part of ageing to have this sort of dementia. That's not a normal ageing process.
Yes, it's true. It's often stereotyped that as you get older you become doddery and forgetful and many other changes, but they're not inevitable ageing. They're unsuccessful ageing. We want to promote successful ageing. A successfully ageing person, even at 90, 95, has good memory, good social engagement, is able to do some form of exercise, is a useful contributing member of society. That's successful ageing. And despite all the stereotypes you see in the media, most people in their 90s and even into their 100s are successfully ageing.
Mm. And, I mean, look at Dame Elizabeth Murdoch. I mean, my goodness me. And there's people who are... And George Burns, despite the fact that he smoked a cigar. I mean, wasn't a good advertisement for... But obviously some people's brains just don't get affected by those things, but don't try this one at home. And I think that's sort of the message that you're trying to get out there, which is you need to think now about looking after your brain in the future. And we need to get rid of the stigma too. How are we going with the stigma, Marie?
Look, unfortunately the stigma is alive and well, Sally, and it really is our responsibility as a community to make sure that people are aware of, and there's soon there will not be anybody in our community who's not impacted. There are currently 72,000 people here in Victoria living with dementia.
Mm. Now, and they've each got a carer or two or three, a couple of grandchildren. And
exactly. Mm. Just extrapolate it out to four people in a family, and there's 250,000 people in our population already impacted. So, you know, we really need to make sure that we make people, that we have a age-friendly and dementia-friendly environments.
And Sally, it is very important to have government on side with this too. We're fortunate now to have got dementia back again as a national health priority, but Marie and myself and a bunch of other people from Alzheimer's Australia, we're very privileged to speak to the Parliamentary Friends of Dementia here in Victoria last Wednesday, and we had a breakfast session that raised the issue of young onset dementia, but also raised the whole profile of dementia amongst parliamentarians, and we've had a lot of positive outcomes from that session. We need government on side, and that's the best way to destigmatise. It's always also the best way to stigmatise an area that's a problem, such as cigarette smoking. So government is important in this.
Absolutely. And look, I have to say, we often give pollies a lot of shtick, but the bottom line is that they're all very committed members of the community, otherwise they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. And I know that their parliamentary friends groups are just phenomenal, and they get things done.
Absolutely. And Sally, this really was a bipartisan approach. So yeah, we had
that's
Midway
what we
Clean.
Need.
Absolutely.
What we want is you guys to get together and do the best for the community. We better take a break, otherwise we're not going to get out of here. We'll take a break and be back after this.
When you're over 50, there are things you can ignore and things you shouldn't, like your sight. Changes in vision could be symptoms of macular degeneration, Australia's leading cause of blindness. But you can have early signs without any symptoms. So have your eyes tested and make sure your macula is checked. Early detection is vital. For more information, call 1-800-111-709. This is a Macular Degeneration Foundation project, proudly supported by Novartis.
Shafted. Ripped off. Screwed. Wronged. Bullied, dudded, held out on, bled, skinned, played, stood over, exploited, left to rot, or hung out to dry. Whatever you call it, Maurice Blackburn's been fighting against it since the day we opened our doors. If it's time for you to fight back, give us a call. Maurice Blackburn Lawyers. We fight for fair.
It's game on at Honda, because across the range, from the precision-engineered Accord Euro to the award-winning Odyssey, prices are in great shape. There's the fun, flexible Jazz with magic folding seats and vehicle stability assist from a very trim $16,990 drive away. Or the ready-for-anything CR-V with rear park assist and alloy wheels running out from just $29,990 drive away while stocks last. So race into your Honda dealer now, where it's game on for deals that'll put you in great shape.
Do you want the good news or the bad news? Go with the good, eh? Over 500,000 workers have now had free work health checks. Good news! And 2 in 3 discovered they had serious health risks. Sounds bad? But no, it's good, because now they can do something to prevent those nasty risks becoming life-threatening. Yep, avoiding life-threatening is very good news.
WorkSafe's work health checks have helped 330,000 workers discover serious health risks. Sign your workplace up at workhealth.vic.gov.au. Work health checks can save lives.
Hey, a little bird told me it's the Jayco Almost Summer Sale. Summer is just around the corner, which means it's the perfect time to go caravanning. And right now has never been a better time to buy. With the Swift Camper Trailer from just $15,990, the popular 16-foot Starcraft Caravan from just $38,990, and more great savings across our entire range. Plus, receive a free solar pack valued at $1,300 with every RV purchased. So, for those in the know, the Jayco Almost Summer Sale starts September 13. For your nearest dealer, visit jayco.com.au.
This time of the year, we're lucky to enjoy the true icon that is the Royal Melbourne Show. Join Dennis Walter as 3AW broadcast live from the showgrounds on Monday, September 24th. From 12 till 4, Dennis will keep you up to date with all the excitement of the show, the best show bags for the kids and us bigger kids. Dennis Walter, live from the 157th Royal Melbourne Show on Monday, September 24th on Melbourne's own 3AW.
Talking Health with Dr. Sally Coburn for Beds for Backs, your health bed store.
After 8 o'clock is Phil and Blackers with Remember When, of course, the fabulous Duct Duo. And, well, I've just got to ask Ken, are they going to be talking to Bruce, Ken? Ken's not listening to me.
There he is. We can get him on the line. He's been at sea, so it's a little bit hard to get the old ship to shore.
Yes, I've been listening. I love hearing from Bruce and all his escapades over in Europe. It's amazing. I am joined in the studio by the CEO of Alzheimer's Australia, Victoria Marie McCabe, and also their new chief medical advisor, and he's also the director of the memory clinic at the Austin Hospital, Associate Professor Michael Woodward. And it is coming up to being Dementia Awareness Week, and when we're hoping to reduce the stigma. You've got lots and lots of things happening. Your free lecture, Marie?
Yes, the free public lecture is on the 20th and it's the Melbourne Convention Centre with Dr. Serge Gauthier from McGill University in Canada, and he'll be talking about risk reduction and the connection between dementia and other chronic diseases. We'll also have Mark Seymour there, formerly from Hunters and Collectors, and Mark has just written a song that he will be performing called Classrooms and Kitchens in tribute of his mum who lives with dementia.
Gorgeous. Yeah. How fabulous. I also love the fact that what you're doing now with your ambassadors is getting a lot more people who have the condition, having dementia, as ambassadors. So people say, hello, we're not just nameless, faceless people.
Absolutely. And it's really powerful, people telling their stories about their experience of living
with dementia. It's not as if you get the diagnosis and then you can't talk anymore.
Correct.
And the truth is, Sally, nearly everybody has somebody that they know with dementia. Mm. It's such a common condition. So it's really important that we not only have people talking in an official role, but you talk to your family members, you talk to your friends about this condition. We need to bring it out of the closet. It needs to go the same way.
And not be afraid to get the diagnosis.
Absolutely.
And Michael, you were making a comment in the break, very animated about the history of the world and epidemics in the world and how other epidemics have been looked at and how this one compares.
Oh, indeed. I mean, we know about the Spanish or so-called Spanish flu about 100 years ago that killed millions of people.
More people in the First World War, yeah.
The Black Death from the medieval ages in Europe. These are conditions that get a lot of publicity, a lot of public awareness, but the epidemic of Alzheimer's and other dementias is getting far less awareness, and we need to make sure that that is something we're addressing. Your Brain Matters is a fantastic way of trying to reduce this.
And I'll say it because I have no vested interest, and we need more research dollars into finding the cause, the cure and support services for people living with dementia. It's been great being in your lounge room or in your bedroom or in your car, wherever you are tonight. We'll be back next week because we're back. Here come Phil and Blackers. See ya.